Thank you for choosing to listen to this talk by Pastor Eddie, designed to develop you. We appreciate your interest in your personal development. This talk can help you in many ways, so pay close attention to the underlying principles in this message. As you listen, think about how you can use this message as part of your development process for you and your circle of influence. The first commitment that Pastor Eddie has is to grow you, because if he can grow you, he can grow your circle of influence. Now let's join Pastor Eddie as he teaches this all-important topic.
We thank you for the grace to relate to each other as a family. We thank you for our diversity, for our multicultural nature. We thank you for the platform of Christianity and our faith that you have made to become one people, Father. We thank you for the unity of the house, the unity of the body. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that runs through every single one of us here today. We adore you. We say we love you. We give you all the glory. We commit the time of the word into your hand. We ask that you speak to our hearts, Father. That you minister to us, Father. That you open our eyes and our ears to hear and see the truth of your word even today. In the name of Jesus. Father, we give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And the family say,
amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Please let me welcome your neighbor once again to your right and to your left. And just welcome them. Tell them they look beautiful, they look colorful, they look bright. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I welcome you to this second service. Next week we are going to be having our annual barbecue Sunday. Amen. Amen. So when you are coming next Sunday, make sure you come hungry, because barbecue, something is going down here next Sunday, all right? So come and be part of that. Make it a point of duty to be here so we can share lunch together. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. I want to welcome you. You all look so beautiful, and I'm so happy wearing this princely garment today from my adopted nation, Uganda. Many of you may not know that in Uganda, the temperature is neither hot nor cold. Yeah, it's the best temperature in the world. It's a very perfect, nice temperature, a place you love to take 9 hours to fly from England to Uganda. And the people of Uganda are lovely people. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you have never eaten matoke, you don't know what you are missing. All right, so make sure. But above all, we celebrate our uniqueness this morning. We celebrate our diversity. So it's our International Diversity Sunday. Praise God. We all come from different parts of the world. But today, we are here celebrating our differences, our diversity, our different nature. You know, in this church, for our size, we have one of the highest cross-cultural marriages. You may not know that, but for our size, we have one of the highest cross-cultural marriages. So in other words, you will see quite a large number of people here whose husband and wife do not come from the same nation. And it just goes to show the beauty of salvation. In other words, when we get saved and God brings us into a family, well, we leave our cultures behind, and then we embrace each other or based on the culture of the kingdom. Amen. That's the reason why we are intermarried, and that we do not kill ourselves. You know, we have a common denominator, which is the word of God and the kingdom of God. You know, just as we celebrate our diversity, we also know that in the same vein, we celebrate our unity. That's the reason why we are celebrating our diversity, because we are united in diversity. Does that make sense? Though we are very different, but we are very united. I feel very comfortable and very safe wearing this because I have Christian brothers and sisters who have adopted me in their home country. So I'm so proud to be part of them, and I'm comfortable wearing what I'm wearing from Uganda. So it means that as we celebrate our diversity, we also understand that though we have different cultural, we come from different cultural background, we also belong to one family. Does that make sense? So in this family, we are one, and it is the family of God. You see, it is only in the family of God that we can celebrate our diversity. It means that there is something else that unites us together beyond our individual cultures, our individual food, and the way we think. The kingdom of God unites us. So in other words, when we are born, naturally, we are born into a family. And in that family, the family has culture. So we hear some people say, John was saying that, or we say, I come from a place called Benin City, and this is where what the queens were. We heard from, somebody says, I'm from Ibadan. This is where we were. And one says, well, I'm from Barbados. So we're all born into natural families. And in those natural families, they have their natural cultures. Their natural cultures determine how their outlook in life. Their natural culture determines how their perspective in life. And so culture is very powerful. My wife and I come from two different parts of Nigeria. We don't speak the same language, though I can speak her language, but she cannot speak my language. And when we started dating, when we started courtship while we were at school, it was a major problem. You see, because she comes from somewhere called Ibadan. She says she's not from Ibadan, that she's from Elisha. But she grew up in Ibadan. She ate Ibadan food, and she drank Ibadan water, and went to Ibadan school. Doesn't matter how much she tries to deny that, she's from where? Ibadan. So... And I'm from somewhere called Benin City. I grew up in a city called Lagos. I grew up in Lagos, yes. Yes, okay. She said I'm from Lagos. Okay, so I'm from Lagos. All right, and I'm a Lagos boy, hear me say. You have never heard me say I'm from, you have heard me refer to myself as from the Benin boy, you know. I was raised in Lagos. I'm a Lagos boy, you know. I'm telling you, I move fast. I'm telling you, I'm suave. I'm very quick. I'm quick. I'm quick, you know. I'm quick in thinking. Everything where I come from in Lagos, they call it, the city is so fast, they call them Russians, you know, as in R-U-S-H. We're always rushing. We rush to catch the bus, you know. But ours is like kind of organized chaos. It's not like here. When you say, in London, when you say you are rushing to catch the bus, you know, you rush to catch the bus and the train. I see people rushing, you know, underground. People rush, you know, and then they rush. I don't know what they are rushing for. And they rush, they miss the train. I say, I miss the train. But the next train is 2 minutes. I don't understand that. But where I come from, we rush. You want to know what rushing means? You got to know. I went to a boarding school. We rush. We rush for food in the morning. We rush for breakfast. We rush. And to go to a boarding school and then now grow up in Lagos, it was a double whammy. It was. So we had a major communication problem. So every time we say something, every time she says something in English, right, I take what she says, run it through my Benin database, and then take the output of my Benin database into my English database, run it through the English database, And then after running through that database, I run through what I perceive she said in her language, which I speak. By the time it comes out of the processing machine, it's an insult. So I was always angry. And then she was, what is wrong with this guy? Why are you always angry? Why can't I just get anything right with you? You know, I said, but why are you talking like that? He said, how do you want me to talk? You know, it was a major. So one day, I realized that this was a cultural problem. Many of you have cultural problems you don't know. So I said, okay, let us eliminate. I like this girl, and she likes me. She looks nice and beautiful, and I would like to marry her. I have conviction in my spirit that this will be my wife. But there's a problem. And so let us eliminate the problem. Many of us, instead of eliminating the problem, we eliminate the woman. You know? I said, no. I said, now, why don't we first of all eliminate this, solve this communication problem? From today, in our home, we speak English, our second language. May not be Queens, but at least we understand what we are saying. So we agreed. And that was when the relationship kicked off properly. What am I saying? The reason why we were struggling, I was angry and I was upset, was because I was listening to her within the context of my culture. Where I come from, right, as the eldest son in of the family of eight in my culture, right, I'm a king. I mean, seriously, I'm a king. Oh, you. In my culture, when I'm one day older than you, you kneel down and greet me. Hey, seriously. If I'm 2 seconds older than you, you kneel down and greet me. That's the way it runs. Now, in my home, as a firstborn, which is another kingly position, when I'm sleeping, you don't wake me up. If you're going to wake me up, you don't shove me. You tap me gently. Oh, and allow me to, you know, make that transition to consciousness. And here am I trying to marry this woman from Ibadan. And the first time I went to their home, you know, I was sleeping in their guest room. And then they were chatting in the living room. And guess what they did? They walked into my, got to my door, and were banging my door. And I said, what kind of people are these? Church, whether you like it or not, your culture defines your perspective. Culture has broken many homes. A lot of people don't know they have culture. So when my wife and I got married, right, because of the difference in culture, we quickly realized that we are two different people. So we're always very patient with one another. So we had to, I have to make sure that, is this what you are trying to say? He said, no. Okay, well, so what are you trying to say? So I had to wake up, we had to slow down to try and understand and interpret what she's saying so I can respond to the right meaning. But many people who come from the same part of town, they don't have that patience. You're from Ibadan? Yeah, I'm from Ibadan. Okay, so we understand each other. Big zero. So your culture determines your perspective, your reaction, your action. Many of us, we are living our culture. You are controlled by your culture. You are molded by your culture. So when we get born again, into a kingdom. In this kingdom, we also have a culture. Many people, though they are Christians, they still respond based on their natural culture. But you are a Christian now, and God expects you to live by your spiritual culture. God, the queen is the queen of England. England is a kingdom, United Kingdom. It's a kingdom, and the kingdom has a queen, correct? All right, and so in England, there is a set of culture, right? And then when we hear you speak, your natural language, you know, in a particular accent because you have been influenced by the culture. When you drink tea, where I come from, when we drink tea with big jars like that, and we hold it like a beer mug. That's how we drink tea where I come from. But in the English culture, you drink tea with what? With teacup, and then you hold it like that. Where I come from, we drink tea, but in the English culture, you sip tea. Yeah? It's a culture, my friend. But what God expects of you and I is that when we get saved, right, we adopt a different set of culture. Are you listening? Many of us, though we are Christians, and from our various culture, we are very violent in our various culture. Like where I come from in my culture, when we talk in a very loud voice. And then we are always raising our hands and, you know, it's not a sign of aggression, but it's just a sign of passion. But in the English culture, when you are speaking to someone and you raise your hand like that, it's aggression. It's culture. Are you listening? So we have natural cultures, my folks. We also have spiritual culture. Now, as Christians, God expects you to have your spiritual culture. In other words, actually, he expects that your spiritual culture should override your natural culture. Your spiritual culture should override your natural culture. He expects you to pick up a new set of value system within this kingdom of God and not the kingdom of your natural heritage. So there is an expectation. Praise the Lord. And so I want to just share something with you quickly from just two verses. And then we see the framework he's giving to us, what he expects of us as our culture. Praise God. You see, for in Gateway Chapel, for example, we have a culture. And our culture is defined by what? Our fun, friendship, fellowship, family. Everywhere, anywhere, two, three, or four Gateway Chapel members are gathered together, you should expect to see fun. You expect to see what? Fellowship, friendship. Fellowship and family. It has nothing to do with our size. If we are 10 people, we have fun, friendship, fellowship, and family. If we are 1,000, we have fun, friendship, fellowship, and family. Because it's our culture. See, we're thinking about three services now, and some people are worried. Oh, wow, if we grow to become 1,000, are we going to lose our fun, friendship, fellowship, and family? We won't, because it's who we are. So in this kingdom, you find that God has a certain expectation. He has a certain rules and responsibilities like any other culture that should define you. I want to just share a few of them with you this morning, and then we close from there. How about that? Praise the Lord. Next Sunday, I will serve you lunch. All right? So let's look at Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. Oh, Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. And I want us to read this together. This is our culture. Romans 9, NIV, Romans 12, verse 9. What's in Romans 9, 12? Romans chapter 12, from verse 9. All right? 1, 2, go. Let's read this together. 1, 2, go. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor another above yourselves. Can we read that one more time, please? All right? 1, 2, go. No, no. Yeah. 1, 2, go. Love must be sincere. Hate what is good, what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor another above yourselves. That is your culture. This is what God expects of you. This should be your culture now. Love must be sincere, the first one. Hate what is evil, the second one. Cling to what is good, the third one. Be devoted to one another in love, the fourth one. And the fifth one says, honor one another above yourselves. And it's as simple as that. This is not rocket science. This is what. So in spite of wherever you come from, when we come into the body of Christ, this is our culture now. It says love must be sincere. In other words, love others sincerely. Love others sincerely. One scripture puts it like this. He says, love must be without hypocrisy. And that's the culture. Love others sincerely. Love must be without hypocrisy. This is the culture of the church. This is your new spiritual reality. You belong to a family now. You belong to the family of God. And the family of God is defined by how much we love one another. Love must be sincere. Love must be sincere. Love must be sincere. Somebody asked me, Pastor Eddie, you know, what is the secret of church growth? You know, we see Gateway Chapel is really growing. The secret of church growth in Gateway Chapel is that the pastor loves everybody sincerely. I don't do cliches. I don't do politics. I don't do backbiting. It doesn't sit with me. Everybody here, they are my spiritual children. Love must be sincere. How can we tell a sincere love from a hypocritical love? It's very simple. It's action. You put action behind your love. Show genuine concern for people and put action behind your love. Put action behind your love. Don't say, I love you, I love you, God, I love you, God, I love the Lord, I love the church, you know, and there is no action. Praise the Lord. Love must be sincere, and authentic love is backed by action. Oh, don't tell your wife, I love you, darling, I love you, darling. You don't do the dishes. You don't help prepare the meal. You don't help prepare the children to bed. I love you, darling, I love you, darling. No cards, right? No chocolates. You can't remember the birthday. I love you, darling, I love you, darling. That is not love. Sincere love will remember birthdays. Sincere love will take the wife out. Sincere love will help at home. Come on, somebody say amen here. Yeah. All right. Sincere love will help in the family. Sincere love will help put the children to bed. Sincere love will help out when the wife is tired. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Show me the action, baby. Show me the action. All right. 1 John. Is it 1 John 3? Let's look at it. 1 John 3:16. Look at that. 1 John 3:16. All right? It says, this is how we know, 1 John 3:16. Come on, media, quickly. This is how we know what love is. This is how we know what love is. This is how we know what love is. Christ, Jesus Christ, sat in heaven and commanded all of us to get saved. Yeah? They said, No. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. Yeah? So he died for us. He was action. He didn't sit in heaven and wish that we all get saved and come and join him. No. He laid down. This is how we know love is. And he says the same thing. He says, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. In other words, I expect you in your new spiritual culture to learn to love the way Christ loved you. That's what he's saying. This is how we know. This is how we know. And the Bible says, don't ask your brother to come back tomorrow when it is in your power to do it today. Love is action, and action is now. This is our new culture. Where do we start from? You start from your local assembly. He said you should favor every single one. He said, especially those from a household of faith. Favor those from the household of faith. Love your brother. So now don't get excited in church alone. Ah, oh, how are you? Oh, wow. You will see that after service. You know, hey, how are you? Oh, I love you. Hey, you putting brother? Yeah. I feel you. Okay. And then during the week, you don't call him. You know, you never follow up on him. You don't really care what he's going through. You know, you just care about yourself, your wife, your job, your pet. It's all about you. And then you say, oh, Lord, I love you. You don't love the Lord. That's not how to love. If I love this guy and I have his phone number, right, every now and then I'm going to give him a call. Hey, brother, how are you, man? Right? And that, in 1997, this works very well. In 1997, right, we were so broke. We were living in a house with 8 families. We were so broke, I still think they owe me an award. It was terrible. We were sharing the same toilet with about 8 other families. My goodness, Monday mornings, tough. You have to wake up and time the bathroom. Because if some people run in there, they never come out. You know, so, and I tell you why. But we came into a church. Church was about 400 member church. And then we get to meet people. We were broke. I'm telling you, we were so broke, we had no mobile phones. But after Sunday, I will connect with some people, take phone numbers. How are you? Hey, wow. Show excitement. Then on Wednesday, I go look for coins, take coins, walk almost half a mile to the nearest phone booth, and I'll pop the coin in. Hey, how are you? Oh, it's me. You gave me your phone number on Sunday. Yeah, I'm just calling to say hello so we can connect. How are you? You know, I was doing that faithfully. I'm telling you. You see, when you do that, you open your heavens for the Lord to favor you. In a very short period of time, we got promoted. I got a job of my life. Doors opened. Love opens doors. Love opens doors. Love sincerely. Love sincerely. Love sincerely. Love sincerely. You want to know the secret of our church? You've got to see is that love, you love every single one. You try it. This should be your culture. Everyone here, you see here, this is your community now, Jesus is saying. You've got to love every single person. And then love them. Don't love them. Don't do hypocritical love. Love sincerely. Extend your family and your concern and your needs beyond your natural family and your natural concern. You see, extend yourself. Love sincerely. That was the first course instruction. I expect you to buy into this. The second one he says is he says you should hate what is evil. Is that not what he says? Mm-hmm. Well, he says hate what is what?
Evil.
Exactly. Hate what is evil. Hate what is evil. He said that there are certain things that are sinful and immoral and it's not pure. Hate is a very strong word. He says, abhor these things. They are tasteless. Don't get involved in tasteless things. Amen. So you are to react to these things like a messy diaper. Oh, you know, I remember one time, I think about a year or 2 years ago, again, we went on holidays and we had, you know, we went with their from family who had it, my granddaughter with him, my spiritual granddaughter, you know, and this very, she was what, about a few months old, and she was in this pushchair. Man! So one day we decided to have lunch outside, you know, everybody was there, so we all sat down, and this baby, I don't know what she ate, and she did a number. I mean, it was a serious number. You know, it's one of those numbers that does not get confined to the diaper. It was floating, I'm telling you. We didn't know. We were busy, you know, the father, the mother, all of us, talking to the pork chops and everything. And then somebody pointed out, said, oh. And then we saw the bear, look at the girl and the baby sat there looking so peaceful, beautiful eyeball. And she's done this number. It was a nasty number. You know? And I saw her, and I looked at her, oh my goodness. I've never seen that kind of number before. It just, you know, it's one of those numbers that you think the baby can almost swim in that finger. I'm telling you, know, and I looked at it, God, not to talk about the stench, but my goodness, you would have thought they opened the sewer somewhere. I was from the bowels of this beautiful daughter of mine. I looked at the girl, you see her, you say, oh, somebody says, oh, disgusting. And that's the reaction God wants you to have when it comes to about sinful things and tasteless things. You know? And I looked at her, oh. You know? But the reaction I saw was that, I would have thought that the father would just drop his fork and knife and just, you know, pick the... Yeah. You know, I sat there, looked up, and then look at the mother. Like, what are you going to do? So, I too looked at the baby. I love you, girl, but can't touch this. So the mother picked up the baby, you know, and she went like that, you know, wow. The push chair was all soiled and everything. So she went there, you know, she was, so I was looking at the magic. I thought, wow, okay. You know that kind of body language your wife gives when they are not happy? You know that kind of thing? We all saw the signal. And I thought the husband would just, oh, wow, she's upset now. He didn't go. Sat down and consumed the whole chops, you know, pork chops. As messy as it was, I love the baby, but I didn't touch her. And so the Lord is saying that when it comes to evil things are things that are ungodly and impure, tasteless things that does not reflect Christianity. He said, treat them like messy diapers. Treat them like messy diapers. Don't touch them. You tell yourself, that's not coming to my house. That's not what, you know what I say, mothers love their children. I thought, oh, what was it? Oh, wow, oh, she's done this number. Everybody was looking at her. So I thought the mother would just say, oh, my baby, and then pat the button. No, she went like that. So I thought, even the mother can't touch that, you see. That's the thing about what he's saying. Hate evil things. Don't touch them. Don't touch tasteless things. That's part of your culture. The clash of culture. We live in a... Our culture clashes all the time. So when someone says, you know what, can we have premarital sex? Oh, no. It's not allowed in my culture. What culture is that? That's what scripture says. If someone tells you, see that guy? Yeah. Oh, yes. His name is Femi. Did you see what he did with it? I said, shh, don't tell me. I do not participate in gossip. It's not allowed in this culture. When someone shows you a flash of pornography, they say, oh, shh, please don't show me this next time. I do not believe in this culture. Are you listening? Yes. That's what he said. He said, you hate these things. You hate them. You hate them. You hate them. Promiscuity, deceit, gossip, thievery, stealing, from stationery to hotel towels and soaps, right through to your tithe. Don't touch it. It's true. Don't touch it. When they hired you, they did not plan to increase their budget. So leave your post-it note at work. The pens, the ones that mysteriously get glued to your fingers, we call it sticky fingers. Make sure you stay in the office. This must not follow me home. Check yourself, ransack your bag. Leave the office stationary in the office. Put it down. You paid for one room for two nights. Leave the bathroom tub, leave it behind. Hotel towels, leave them behind. Hotel soap, hand wash and cream, leave them behind. That does not cover your cost. That's not. Yes, yes, yes. That's where we practice stealing. We start from bathroom soaps, then we migrate to tithe. Before you know, you'll be carrying guns. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. It says jealousy. You know jealousy? Jealousy? People are jealous. He said, don't allow jealousy. When you see people doing well, praise them. Life is not about you all the time. Celebrate people who are doing well. Let no jealousy be found among you. Willingness to forgive. Somebody steps on your toe. Say, I have a big toe. I will clip the toe next time. Forgive and let go. Don't live in unforgiveness. Have a willingness to forgive. Husbands, forgive your wife. Wives, forgive your husband. You belong to what? This culture now. Unforgiveness is not allowed in this culture. You either practice the new culture or you hold on to your natural culture. You can't hold on to both of them. No, you cannot hold on to both of them. That's what he says. He says you should what? He says you should hate what is evil. Hate what is evil. In my home, in my family, all of them, they're all afraid of spiders. Even the ones that carry a large chest. They're all afraid of spiders. When there's a spider, when they find a teeny-weeny spider, they all run away. You know, I was in a study the other day. A member of my house was standing next to the mummy, and then they saw a spider. This member took off. And I said, you are the one that should be protecting your mother. So in my home, so it's a teeny-weeny spider. You know, so now, whenever they see a teeny-weeny spider in their room, teeny-weeny spider like that, they call for the man, the Superman, to deal with it. But what I find very interesting is this. Whenever they want to kill the spider, they will take a pair of shoe, and it's a teeny-weeny spider. You know, teeny-weeny spider. And they go, bam, bam, bam. You know why? Fear. It's a fear. It's a fear. When they are squashing a tiger, it's like as if they are squashing a tiger. But it's not a tiger. It's a teeny-weeny spider. They will jump on that spider, and then we squeeze on it. And I say, it's okay, the thing is dead. That's how he says. He says, hate evil like that. The way we hate spiders in my home. Hate evil like that. Squash it. Kill it. Hate evil. What is an evil? Evil is anything that is against what you believe as a believer. It's evil in the sight of God. That's your new culture. It's your new reality. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. And then he says, cling to what is good. Cling to what is good. Cling to what is good. What is good is translated to mean something that is beneficial, useful, or that will help you grow in your Christian faith. That's the Greek word, good, there. Say, cling to it. Why does he say cling to it? Because there's every possibility that it will elude you. He said, cling to what is good. Because in this culture, God expects you to cling to what is good. A good prayer life, you cling to it. Fellowship, cling to it. Righteous living, cling to it. Church attendance, cling to it. Daily prayer life, time with God, dedication. He says, cling to these things. Cling to them. He's saying, pay attention to them. Cling to them. Make a conscious effort to embrace them and make sure that nothing in life takes that thing away from you. He says, cling to them. Cling to them. He didn't say, just do them. He knows that we are involved in a war of cultures. He says, you are in the world, but you are not of the world. So the world system and the world culture will do everything to rob you of your new spiritual reality. He says, listen very carefully. You to adopt this new spiritual culture. That's what he's saying. He said, cling to what is good. 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 The word cling there, it also reflects to like as in marriage. The other time the word cling is used in the Bible, it was talking about marriage. Marry that which you believe is consistent with your new reality. That's what he's saying. Marry that which you think is consistent with your new reality. Stick, cling to what is good. Cling to what is good. Cling to what is good. And many of us know what is good at times. But because we are involved in a clash of cultures, we cannot stand up for what we believe. We cannot stand up for what we believe. Many of us will say yes to many things that we know is a clash against our own new cultural reality. These are your cultural realities. But time will not permit me to go through the last two. But I leave that with you to read, to study in your personal time. All right? So let us read that scripture again. Right? This time we have an understanding now of what we are, of what is our new cultural reality. So let's read that again. Romans 12, verse 9 and 10. Okay? 1, 2. Romans 12, verse 9 and 10. So we close by reading that together. Amen? Praise the Lord. Is that good? Was that so? So you are no longer from, you are no longer in the world. You are in the world, but you are not of the world. So it means that you have a new cultural reality. Praise the Lord. All right? So let's read that together one more time as we close. 1, 2, go. It says, love must be sincere. Hate what is good. Let's do that again. 1, 2, go. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Amen? Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor another above yourselves. He's saying, these are the five things I want it to be your new spiritual, cultural reality. And we all strive to maintain this reality. That's what makes us one. That's what unites us as one, as brothers and sisters. Amen? You are blessed in Jesus' name. Rise to your feet and let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We bless your holy name. Thank you for your word that has gone forth today. Lord, we ask, O God, in the name of Jesus, that you help us embrace one another in love. You will help us live within the context of our new spiritual reality in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Keep us together as one. Lord, we ask, O God, for the bond of unity in this house in the name of Jesus. Amen. Teach us to speak as one. Teach us to live as one within the context of our new spiritual cultural reality in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and the family say, Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's talk. Now just think, through Pastor Eddie's Building Your Future coaching and mentoring agency, you can experience these lessons monthly, packed with quotations, thought-provoking illustrations and stories, all usable in your personal development program. Visit us at www.byf.org.uk to join Building Your Future, which sets the leadership standard for ministry and marketplace. Pastor Eddie treasures the opportunity to be your personal mentor each month, all year long. Thank you again for joining us for this talk. We look forward to you joining Building Your Future as part of your personal growth program in becoming the best you can possibly be.